If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Radio program. Welcome. I am he, your humble host here, starting today, 5 p.m. to 7. 5 to 7 every Friday here on the Conservative Nation Radio Network. ConservativeNationRadio.org is where you can find us for my show and every other one we have throughout the week. So please check us out. We'd be just thrilled to have you along. Thank you for joining me now, whether you are live or after the fact, downloading me. That is awesome as well. My phone number is 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176, 2 hours of the Manti Show on my new time, Friday. Spread the word, please. 5 p.m. to 7 Eastern, 5 to 7, 5 to 7, 5 to 7, your evening drive home to relax with a well-earned weekend ahead. If you need any details about this show or me, please just go to my website, ChristopherManti.com. Manti is spelled M-A-N-T-E-I. Also, I am on Facebook at Manti Show, M-A-N-T-E-I Show, right? And Twitter and Facebook and all that stuff, we're all hooked up here in Conservative Nation Radio Network, so thank you for joining me. It is now the 10th of May, 2013, and things are progressing rapidly. Just take a look at your news aggregator of choice. There's all kinds of stuff going on today. For instance, the IRS is not good at math. Did you know that? That's right. They admitted that. And oops, our IRS admits we are targeting conservative groups before the 2012 election. Whoops. We apologize for that. FAA refuses to tell town officials that the low-flying mystery aircraft is frightening residents nightly. What is this mystery airplane over Quincy, Massachusetts? The feds know, but they won't tell the town. That's great. Of course, Benghazi is just exploding here. Every conservative worth their salt is keeping up to date minute by minute. You're not allowed to print a 3D gun. That lasted for like a day. Now you can't. There's all kinds of stuff happening today. So we'll get into a whole bunch of it. And I appreciate you taking this journey with me. Again, 718-305-7176. One thing I did want to touch on. First of all, remember my mantra here. The last couple of weeks, I'm going to continue this, and this will be a theme throughout my program constantly, which is a quote by R.C. Sproul. He's a theologian down in Florida. And he said, Jesus's life was a storm of controversy. The apostles, like the prophets before them, could hardly go a day without controversy. Paul said he debated daily in the marketplace. To avoid controversy is to avoid Christ. We can have peace, but it is a servile and carnal peace where the truth is slain in the streets. I hope you heed that. the true message of the gospel is really imparted in there. To avoid controversy is to avoid Christ. Jesus is not about getting along to get along and keeping your opinions to yourself and let evil do what it wants and all that good stuff, right? Being controversial is like the job description if you're a Christian. So please live up to that. I will do my best. Of course, it's all in truth and in love, like everything that we do. So that being said, again, I mentioned some of the headlines here. I'm going to go into later really some bottom line. What is this Benghazi thing all about? What is Barack Obama's connection with the Muslim Brotherhood? Why is this happening? What does Saudi Arabia have to do with it? All kinds of good stuff. Tremendous reporting from Pat Dollar. We'll get into that a little later. And then someone I know a little bit myself personally, Robert Stacy McCain, great blogger, details of domestic terrorists who are now teaching at our universities. There's more than a few of them. I'll let you know who. Egyptian Christians are on the run, and they're looking for help, and they're not finding it from us. And this is by the moderate Muslims over there. And, of course, like I mentioned, the IRS is now admitting to conservative group targeting for harassment and not approving tax-exempt status to organizations that said Tea Party or Patriot in it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's nothing to that. So on we go. The number one story, I think, today that you probably didn't even notice it because it got lost and on the shuffle, is the spire was today placed on the what is called the Freedom Tower in New York City. So, yes, this is the literally the capstone, if you will, the final piece of this defiant monument of defiance, and is now the tallest building in North America, or I'm sorry, the Western Hemisphere, at a height of a very patriotic sounding 1,776 feet. Small problem with that. I already detailed last week on the program, went over the what's called The Harbinger. It's a book by Jonathan Cahn. And this tower, this Freedom Tower, is prophesied in the Bible. Do you believe that? It's true. Isaiah chapter 9. And there are nine signs contained in there about what ancient Israel did when they were attacked, how they rebuilt instead of turning back to the Lord, and how we are mirroring that exactly to the finite detail. And we are under judgment. And as long as we continue to deny that, it will get worse and worse and worse. And I'm afraid this spire going up today is a bad harbinger. It's not a good sign. We're going to, I think, experience some really bad consequences from that. And God is not happy. We have changed nothing. We are not in any way better. In fact, many ways we are worse and further from him, mocking of him, sticking our finger in his eye. After September 11th, it's as if it never happened at all. Now with this new building, it literally looks like a giant middle finger. I don't know if that's intentional or not, but it's giving God the finger, okay? Not terrorism. Sorry. I mean, there are folks who, and maybe you feel the same way, and I've come around to this as well. At some point, maybe you were excited by this, and I know some people are. You know, I'm on social networking and all that. I see a lot of my fellow travelers are excited and full of pride, full of pride. Pride. About it, about its completion, And it feels wrong, doesn't it? I think, again, this is for some of us are coming around to realize that we're not supposed to be doing that. God is not happy about this. It does not feel right. There's nothing to do with, oh, we got attacked and we're just supposed to sit and take it and have there be an empty space there for all eternity. Well, you know, there are a lot of different things that could have happened there. A lot of different things. A much better way of saying F you to evil than building a bigger tower out of stronger material. Again, Isaiah 9:10 is coming true again. And to warning, and God is not happy with us. And we are going down, folks. It's true. It is true. So get yourself in order. Get your life in order. Get your family in order. Your loved ones. Get back to God. Get back in His Word. Because I don't know when stuff's going to get really bad. I just don't know. But no time like the present to be prepared, eh? Please do that. 718-305-7176. You can also go right into the chat room here if you're listening live. You can go to conservativenationradio.org or christophermanti.com. Click Listen Live. You're brought right into our platform here, and there's a chat room right below where you see the player. You can ask a question in there, comment, concern, and what have you. I'd be happy to do that. Or email me if you want, christopher@conservativenationradio.org. Right? Great. Thanks for paying attention there. So anyway, this spire going on top. By the way, did you know some more trivia about this spire, this final piece? I'll get the exact wording for you. There is a beam at the top of this spire, Freedom Tower. Barack Obama signed it. Yeah, he signed it. So I'm looking right at it now. We remember, we rebuild, we come back stronger, and signs his name in script. Well, again, this is Isaiah 9 being fulfilled again. Those are the words of the Bible. We will rebuild. It's very sad. But this is the crowning achievement by a king, so to speak, that God obviously is not happy with. But, we'll see what it gets us. All right, folks. We'll talk about more about Benghazi and what Obama can expect in the future later on in the program. This is the Christopher Manti Show, Conservative Nation Radio Network. Every Friday night or afternoon, I guess you can call it, 5 to 7. Much more palatable for a lot of folks, 5 to 7 p.m. So thanks so much for joining me. Remember, I'm not the only show here on Conservative Nation Radio Network. It's pretty clear that the switch is on to CNR. And if you have any doubts about that, just check our new Saturday show. That's tomorrow with internet radio veteran Robert Garding. It's called The New Wise Conservatism Show. Now comes to you on conservativenationradio.org every Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 Central, 4 p.m. tomorrow. Robert has a big, big following. So listen Saturday and you'll find out why. Thousands love his brand of New Wise Conservatism, and you will too. That's The New Wise Conservatism Show with Robert Garding tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 Central, here on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives, and we will be right back.
I am a free man. Don't tread on me.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
Okay, here goes. I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than I do about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like PB&J, pigs in a blanket. Oh, and fish sticks. They do love fish sticks. Filets I get, but sticks? What part of the fish does the stick come from? I know I can read a cookbook that'll tell me how to make a red wine reduction, but where are the cookbooks that can teach me how to cut the crusts off bologna sandwiches? Oh, maybe we can compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with brie? Everybody likes brie, right?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to push your food around their plate. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
All right, class. Let's hear what everyone did this weekend. Jill?
Well, I raised my older sister to a big oak tree. It was at least 100 years old. My mom said I must have set a record or something. And then we went down by a stream and perched up on this huge rock and saw all of these little minnows swimming around way below us. And then I rescued my little brother from an evil slug king who was guarding him at the bush fortress. And my sister and I brought him back to our super twig fort for safety. And then we all laid out and told stories until it got dark. And the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Wow.
Where were you, Jill?
Yeah.
We went to the forest. It's not that far away. Anyone want to come this weekend?
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week and find the fun, adventurous you. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
Welcome back. Welcome. Broadcasting live from the Trinity Media Studios.
Here's your host, Manti.
Yes, here I am. I am your host, Manti. Thank you for joining me. It's the Manti Show, 718-305-7176. The phone number, 718-305-7176. Big, 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 big news day today for all you news junkies. And I'm glad you are with me experiencing that. Email me if you want, like I mentioned, Christopher at conservativenationradio.org. I will get that immediately and respond. Not a problem. So just talking about how we have crowned our defiant monument in New York City. You missed a gem of a show. If you didn't hear it last week, it's archived for you at our homepage. You just find it from last week's date, the third. But in it, I detailed why this new tower is such a not a good idea, and So check it out, all right? And defiance is not a place where you want to be right now with God. All right, so let us get into the stories of the day. Of course, everyone's talking about Benghazi right now, and it's so bad. It's so bad. How bad is it? It is so bad that even our old pals in the mainstream media are covering it. I know, it's incredible and funny, but it's true. And all your dinosaur networks are now actually putting reporters on. Next thing you know, they may actually even cover like the Kermit Gosnell trial. All right. So it's pretty serious. It's how bad it is, and how obvious it is that there's lying and covering up going on. That's ABC and CBS and not NBC yet, but we're maybe even getting there. That's how much of a disgrace. Now, obvious it is that this stinks. So the story I wanted to read to you on the heels of that, and it kind of is a tertiary to this posting, but there's some great reporting has been going on, and I want to share it with you. Again, this is from Pat Dollard, patdollard.com. And here's the headline. I'm going to read this to you. It's not that long. And it might get a little confusing, so I may want to take some notes here, okay? And again, if you go check it out, patdollard.com. Heading is Bombshell Obama Vetting, 1979 newspaper article by Valerie Jarrett. Father-in-law reveals start of Muslim purchase of U.S. presidency. Wow, that sounds controversial and extreme. And, of course, right under the heading of that is the old famous picture of our president bowing to the Saudi king a couple of years ago. Unbelievable. Okay, here's the words of the, again, credit to Pat Dollard. Why would Muslim oil billionaires finance and develop controlling relationships with black college students? Well, like anyone else, they would do it for self-interest. And what would that self-interest be? We all know the top two answers to that question. One, a Palestinian state. Well, I quibble with that. I would say worldwide Sharia compliant government, caliphate. Or number two, the advancement of Islam in America. All right. The idea then was to advance blacks who would facilitate these two goals to positions of power in the federal government, preferably, of course, the presidency. Why would the Arabs, again, this is a slang for Muslims in Saudi Arabia, why would the Arabs target blacks in particular for this job? Well, for the same reason the early communists chose them as their vanguard for revolution. We have a revolution, literally, which means change. Okay, that's cute. In America. Now, allow me to quote Trotsky, Leon Trotsky, famous communist, 1939. This is Trotsky speaking. The American Negroes, for centuries the most oppressed section of American society and the most discriminated against, are potentially the most revolutionary element of the population. They are designated by their historical past to be, under adequate leadership, the very vanguard of the proletarian revolution. Substitute the word Islam for the words proletarian revolution, and you most certainly get the picture. As Islam is a revolutionary movement, just like communism is. By the way, here's some interesting trivia. It is from that very quote from Trotsky that Van Jones, communist, takes his name. Did you know that? Obama appointee had to resign when he got exposed. Van is short for Vanguard. His real name is Anthony. Stick that in your notebook. His name is Anthony Jones. He calls himself Van, short for Vanguard, because he's a Trotskyite communist. And moving along. In addition, long before 1979, blacks had become the vanguard for the spread of Islam in America, especially in prisons. Ding, 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 ding. And that continues to this day, by the way. That's my comment. Back to the article. Interestingly, in context with the fact that this article was written by her father-in-law, Valerie Jarrett has an unusual amount of influence over Obama, along with personal security that may even be better than his. Another unusual and intriguing bit of business. Equally interesting is that Obama, who may have been the beneficiary of this Muslim money, may now be in this Muslim debt, has aggressively pursued both of the Muslim agendas I cited above. And also equally interesting is that Obama has paid a king's ransom for court-ordered seals of any such records of this potential financing of his college education and perhaps of other expenses. Lastly, it's very important to note, the main source for this article is Khalid Mansour, the same lawyer who allegedly helped arrange for the entrance of Barack Obama into Harvard Law School in 1988. Interesting. And here's another fascinating one for your archives. Valerie Jarrett, by the way, was born in Iran. Did you know that? She was born there and spent her first 5 years there. Interesting, eh? Very interesting. Oh, and coincidentally, that was the one country, Iran, that was protected by Obama from the sweep of the Arab Spring. You remember that? That was the only one that the government got to put down and shut up and slaughter the uprisers. And we didn't say boo about it. Yep. That's Iran. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, all of this may seem sensational, but let's face the facts. What makes it most disturbing is that not only is it all logical, but it suddenly makes a lot of previously confusing things make perfect sense. That's from Pat Dollard. Now, here's an excerpt from this column called from Frank Mealy, Daily Interlake. This is some investigative reporting here. I guess we're going to have to go over the break on this one, but check it out. Searching old newspapers is one of my favorite pastimes, and I've used them. This is the article now, not me. I've tried to use them many times to shed light on current events or inform readers about how the past is prologue into a very interesting present-day quandary. Recently, I came across a syndicated column from November 1979 that seemed to point 30 years into the future toward an obscure campaign issue that arose briefly in the 2008 presidential campaign. Though by no means definitive, it provides an interesting insight, at least, as to how Chicago politics intersected with the Black Power movement and Middle Eastern money at a certain point in time. Whether it has any greater relevance to the 2012 election campaign, I will allow the reader to decide. Again, this is before the 2012 election. That's my comment. In order to accomplish that, I will also take the unusual step of providing footnotes at the end of the column, blah, blah, blah. The column itself appeared in the St. Petersburg Evening Independent newspaper of November 6th, but it was the work of a veteran newspaper man who at the time was working for the prestigious Chicago Tribune, whose work was syndicated nationally. As far as I know, this 1979 column had not been previously brought to light, but it certainly should be, because it broke some very interesting news about the, quote, rumored billions of dollars the oil-rich Arab nations are supposed to unload on American black leaders and minority institutions. The columnist, quoted, is a black San Francisco lawyer who said it is not just a rumor. Aid will come from the Arab states. Well, if anyone would know, it would have been this lawyer, Donald Warden, who had helped defend OPEC, that's Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, basically it's Saudi Arabia and the other kingdoms on the Arabian Peninsula. Okay. Helped defend OPEC in an antitrust suit that year and helped develop significant ties with the Saudi royal family since becoming a Muslim and changing his name to Khalid Abdullah Tariq Al-Mansour. Al-Mansour told Jarrett, this is Valerie Jarrett's father-in-law, that he had presented, quote, proposed special aid program to OPEC Secretary General Ray Ortiz in September 1979, and that the first indications of Arab help to American blacks may be announced in December. Maybe so, but I looked high and wide in newspapers in 1979 and 80 for any other stories about this aid package funded by OPEC and never found it verified. You would think that a program that was supposed to spend $20 million per year for 10 years to aid 10,000 minority students each year, including blacks, Arabs, Hispanics, Asians, and Native Americans, would be referred to somewhere other than the one obscure 1979 column, but I haven't found any other word of it. Maybe the funding materialized, maybe it didn't, but what's particularly noteworthy is that this black Islamic lawyer who for several years had urged the rich Arab kingdoms to cultivate stronger ties to America's blacks by supporting black businesses and black colleges and giving financial help to disadvantaged students was also the same lawyer who helped arrange for the entrance of Barack Obama into Harvard Law School in 1988. Something to think about, right? And we're up against the break here, so I'll continue this. On the other side, let's talk about LifeLock, talking about being secure. Let's talk about LifeLock. ConservativeNationRadio.org is proud to be associated with the most effective identity security and credit monitoring service that there is, LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. It helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. You've heard about it all over. So to protect your identity with LifeLock, now go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the LifeLock banner. That's conservativenationradio.org and click on the LifeLock banner, and we will be right back.
I'm Vince Gill for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Real life's not a song. In less than it takes to play my latest hit, someone will be killed or injured in an alcohol-related crash. So next time you're out with someone who's been drinking, don't let them take the wheel. Take the keys instead. Sad stories make great songs, but happy endings make better lives. That's why friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. So, do you like it? Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
And we are back. Christopher Manti is back in the air. 5:30 now in the p.m. Going to be here with you till 7 o'clock. So thanks for joining me. Thank you so much. 718-305-7176 is the number. 718-305-7176. Email me if you want. Christopher@conservativenationradio.org. Facebook, Twitter, CNR show on Twitter and all that stuff. So you are good to go. If you'd like to contact me, please feel free. All right, so let me continue reading from this bombshell article, and we're really getting to the bottom of this, starting to. Okay, part two. The tale that surfaced in 2008 when Barack Obama was candidate for president was one of the leading black politicians in the country. Percy Sutton of New York told an interviewer that he had been introduced to Obama by a, quote, friend who was raising money for him. This friend's name is Dr. Khabib Al-Mansour from Texas. He is the principal advisor to one of the world's richest men. He told me about Obama. This peculiar revelation engendered a small hubbub in 2008, but was quickly dismissed by the Obama campaign as the ditherings of a senile old man. I don't believe President Obama himself ever denied the story. And no one has explained how Sutton came up with this elaborate story about Mansour, if it has no basis in fact. And in any case, Al-Mansour no longer denies it. In other words, it was true. Back in 2008, while actually supporting Hillary Clinton in the New York primary, Mr. Sutton was interviewed on TV, and he said he thought Barack Obama was nonetheless quite impressive. He also revealed that he had first heard about Obama 20 years ago, in a letter where Al-Mansour wrote, "There is a young man that has applied to Harvard. I know that you have a few friends up there because you used to go up there to speak. Would you please write a letter in support of him?" Sutton concluded in the interview, "I wrote a letter of support for him to my friends at Harvard, saying to them I thought there was a genius that was going to be available, and I certainly hope they would treat him kindly." Of course, as you know, Barack Obama, this is me now, Manti-talking, he did go he got into Ivy League schools and all that stuff. Okay. Until now, there's really been no context within which to understand the Sutton story, or no business or to buttress it as a reliable account other than the reputation of Sutton himself, a top leader in the black community in Manhattan, himself a noted attorney, businessman, politician. But the new discovery of this 1979 column that established Al-Mansour's interest in creating a fund to give financial help to disadvantaged students does provide a clue that he might indeed, along with his patron, Arab Prince Alawid, bin Talal have taken an interest in the genius, quote-unquote, Barack Obama. Do that name ring a bell? Arab prince, Saudi Arabian prince, Alawid? It should. She was just in the news with Obama again. It might also be considered more than coincidence that the author of the 1979 newspaper column was from Chicago, where Barack Obama settled 7 years later after his stint at Columbia. It is certainly surprising that the author of that column was none other than Vernon Jarrett, the future father-in-law of Valerie Jarrett, who ultimately became the consigliere of the Obama White House. It is also noteworthy that Vernon Jarrett was one of the best friends and colleague of Frank Marshall Davis. Uh-oh. Most of you should know who he is. Frank Marshall Davis, the former Chicago journalist and lifelong communist who moved to Hawaii in the late 40s and years later befriended Stanley and Madeline Dunham and their daughter, Stanley Ann Dunham. That's Barack Obama's mother. And to anyone who has a modicum of spark of curiosity, it is surely intriguing that Frank Davis took an active role in the rearing of young Barack from the age of 10 until 18 and left Hawaii for his first year of college at Occidental in Los Angeles. It is also at least suggestive that Obama began that college education as a member of the highly international student body of Occidental in 1979, the same year when Vernon Jarrett was touting college aid program, that college aid program being funded by OPEC and possibly Prince Alawid. The fact that Obama has studiously avoided releasing records of his college years is suggestive also, but has no evidentiary value in the present discussion. Okay. Now, the nature of Vernon Jarrett's relationship with Mansour is likewise uncertain, but it is very likely they had known each other as leaders in the Black Civil Rights Movement for many years. Under his previous name, Donald Warden, al-Mansour founded the African American Association in the Bay Area in the early 1960s. He also helped inspire the Black Panther Party through his association with Black power leaders such as Huey Newton and Bobby Seale. Seale, of course, had a famous association with Chicago later, when he was part of the Chicago 8 charged with conspiracy and inciting a riot at the Democratic National Convention of 1968. In any case, it doesn't matter if Vernon Jarrett and Khalid Mansour had a personal relationship or not. For some reason, al-Mansour had used Jarrett as the messenger to get out the word of his efforts to funnel Arab oil money to Black students and minority colleges at about the time that Barack Obama began his college career. It doesn't mean either Jarrett or Mansour knew Obama at that time, but 8 years later, when Obama was a rising star in Chicago, a friend of Bill Ayers and Valerie Jarrett, it is much more likely that he did indeed have the assistance of very important people in his meteoric rise. He pretty much admits that in his biography, by the way, Obama. The words of Percy Sutton about what al-Mansour told him regarding Obama certainly hit the ring of truth. His introduction was, "There is a young man who had applied to Harvard. I know that you have a few friends back there. Would you please write a letter in support of him?" That's before Obama decided to run. He interjected the advice that Obama had passed the requirements and had taken and passed the requirements necessary to get into Harvard and become president of the Law Review. That's before he ever ran for anything. And I wrote a letter in support of him to my friends at Harvard saying I thought there was a genius that was going to be available, and I clearly or certainly hoped that they would treat him kindly. What possible significance could this all have? We may never know, but Vernon Jarrett, back in 1979, thought that OPEC's intention to fund Black minority education would have a huge political ramifications. Jarrett wrote, "The question of financial aid from the Arabs could raise a few extremely interesting questions, both inside and outside the Black community. If such contributions are large and sustained, the money angle may become secondary to the sociology and politics of such an occurrence." Of course, he was right. As Jarrett suggests, any Black institutions and presumably individuals who become beholden to Arab money might be expected to continue the trend of American New Black advocacy for a homeland for the Palestinians and presumably other Islamic and Arabic interests in the Middle East. For that reason, and if no other, the question of how President Obama's college education was funded is of considerably more than academic interest. And again, if you find, go to patentdollar.com, you'll see all of this as well as the original article by Vernon Jarrett from that 1979 paper and also some videos, Khalid Mansour, and all this good stuff. So I would suggest that you check it out if you were intrigued at all. 5:40 right now. Christopher Manti Radio Program. I'm here till 7 o'clock. 718-305-7176. 718-305-7176 is the number. I sure would appreciate hearing from you. Or go to the chat room here. If you're listening to me right now, there's a little chat box below where the broadcast is coming from. Just check in there. Or email me, Christopher@conservativenationradio.org. Of course, remember, we are on Facebook at Conservative Nation Radio, and my show is on Facebook at Manti Show. I have my website. All things Manti can be found at ChristopherManti.com. Hear all about this program, myself, my business, Trinity Media. Oh, by the way, welcome to Trinity Media Studios, beautiful downtown, beautiful northern Delaware. It really is great out there today, somewhere between spring and summer, and it'll probably rain again here tonight, but for now, it's awesome. Hope you're enjoying it. And Trinity Media brings this extravaganza to you, the state-of-the-art facilities of broadcasting awesomeness, trinitymediaonline.com. Be sure to check us out. Okay? Thank you very much. I appreciate that. So very interesting stuff about our president in the past and how he may in fact be indebted, literally be indebted, to a certain Prince Alawid and to Iran and to things like the Muslim Brotherhood. There's a lot more where that came from, that's for sure. But I tie this back into the Boston bombing investigation. By the way, if you only think there's two suspects or bad guys, you're wrong. I hear there are 12, not two. In any event, there's that mystery Saudi kid, remember? First he was arrested, then he wasn't, then he was a suspect, then he wasn't, then he was a person of interest, then he wasn't, then he was on a terrorist watch list, he was the worst possible designation, then he wasn't, then he was due to be deported, then he wasn't, but he left anyway. At some point, to somebody. And oh, by the way, he has all these terrorists in his family, and Prince Alawid sprung him out. I'll leave it for you to decide on that. This is the Christopher Manti Radio Program. 5 to 7. ConservativeNationRadio.org. And, of course, I'm not the only show on the air in this network. We have shows every day, including Radio Free America, now on Wednesday nights. So please listen. We're all about keeping the left guessing, right? That's confusing. We're all about keeping the left guessing, correct? Which may be one reason that Radio Free America with Duke Brooks is moving to Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central on conservativenationradio.org. Some things never change, though. Your weekly dose of anti-communism, U.S. history, and flying airplanes is still available, just on a different night. Maybe Republican politics in Delaware has something to do with it too, but Radio Free America with Duke Brooks now rolls out Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism, real conservatives, and we will be right back.
I am a free man. Don't tread on me.
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration. And that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811. PCSforAutomation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
This is the sound of a brand new outdoor grill being hurled off a 20-story building. Now a stylish glass coffee table. An electric guitar. These are the things you could enjoy all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Visit EnergySavers.gov and get tips on how to save energy and money. Then do things like switch to Energy Star light bulbs or Energy Star appliances, then you could save hundreds of dollars a year. So this doesn't happen to the recliner you've had your eye on, or this to the treadmill on your wish list, or this to the shiny new bike your kid's been asking for. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Welcome back. Welcome. Broadcasting live from the Trinity Media Studios.
Here's your host, Manti.
Indeed, I am your host, Manti, Christopher Manti, that is. Welcome back, 718-305-7176. This is the Trinity Media Studios, and the Manti Show is with you here till 7 p.m. New time, 5 to 7, every Friday afternoon. I thought it was better for everyone. It's better for me, so it's all that really matters, 5 to 7, Friday. All right, so chill out with me. Hey. The great thing about this internet broadcasting is you can listen whenever the heck you want. If you like your radio and living at night, cozying up with the cognac and the pipe and the robe. That doesn't sound too bad, actually. Listen to me then. Right? No problem at all. Hopefully I can entertain, enlighten, inspire, teach, make you laugh, cry, and whatever else emotion comes out of you. Hope I play a part in that. Thank you very much for listening. 718-305. 7176 Conservative Nation Radio Network. And we're talking about very interesting tie-ins with the president and Muslims in the Middle East. Not saying he's a Muslim. Not saying it. I don't believe it, first of all. All right? I never thought that he was. I never thought he was illegitimately, he's a citizen. I believe that. He's born in Hawaii. I don't see any evidence to the contrary. I don't care what you think of that. It's what I think. However, that does not make him good. That does not make him a good Christian. It makes him a bad Christian. It makes him an apostate Christian. It makes him a habitual liar, which he obviously is. And a terrible leader doesn't even begin to describe it. He's fundamentally changing America like he said he would. And he knows exactly what he's doing. And his handlers know exactly what he's trying to do. And they want they don't want the Constitution at all, but they'll change it to suit their needs. Their goal is 7 years from now. They've written it out in a book. George Soros, all these dudes. That's as long as they're waiting. Right? So watch out. Okay? They're getting there. They're going to take religious liberty and your right to bear arms first, because they're tops on the list and everything else falls real easy without those. Religious liberty it's been taking hits here and there, but it's really going to get turned up in August. So pay attention. All right? All right. I got some other things to cover here with you. Namely, domestic terrorism, and they're all lefties, right? There's a blog called theothermccain.com, a guy I know a little bit, Robert Stacy McCain, has been great. I met him through a Herman Cain campaign a while back, but he's been terrific as a blogger and gets a lot of scoops. Domestic terrorists teaching at colleges. He says, This came out 2 days ago. Controversy ensued when news broke that Kathy Bowden, former member of the Weather Underground, who was convicted in 1984 of a felony murder, received position of adjunct professor at Columbia University. Huh, Columbia. A president went there, didn't he? Anyway, she's a terrorist and she's a murderer. While it may be ironic that Bowden receive a teaching position at a university she was plotted to bomb, she is not the only former domestic terrorist to receive such a position. At least a dozen, that's 12 plus, former members of domestic terrorist organizations. By the way, just so you all know, I'm sure you don't need any help with this, but in case you got any lefty friends, domestic terrorism, they're all left-wing groups. All right, let's move on. That's the fact. Sorry. Domestic terrorist organizations are now college professors, 12 plus. Members of the Weather Underground make up about half of that. Some are well-known, like Bill Ayers and his wife, Bernadine Dorn. Ayers is now retired from the University of Illinois, while Dorn is still teaching at Northwestern Law School. Other lesser-known members of the group include Howard Machinger, who was charged with conspiring to bomb the Detroit Police Officers Association building and was on the run from the law for 5 years, from 1973 to 1978. Machinger now works for the School of Education at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Oh, man. I mean, I'm a Duke fan, so I don't like North Carolina anyway, but this really doesn't help. Another Weatherman alumni, Mark Nyson, has been professor at Fordham University for 43 years. Granted, his time as a weatherman was brief. He was part of the SDS and part of Columbia University occupation in 67 and 68. He was arrested for those protests as well as for a bar fight in 1969. Nyson left the weatherman after his last arrest for fear he was putting his life in danger.
Boo.
Eleanor Raskin, who was also involved in 1968 Columbia University occupation by SDS. She continued to work for the Weather Underground throughout 60s and 70s. Eventually, her home was raided in 1979, and bomb-making materials were discovered there. In 1981, she was arrested and prosecuted for unlawful flight to avoid prosecution. Of course, what does she mean? She was outcast and working at McDonald's? No. She began to teach at the State University of New York in Albany and later Albany Law School. She currently is an administrative law judge. Oh, my. After 7 years in hiding from the law due to his activities in the Weatherman, Mark Rudd, former spokesman for students in the Columbia Student Revolt of 1969, avoided a long prison sentence due to a technicality and served less than a year. He's now retired but spent a long career as a math instructor in Central New Mexico Community College. Okay. He still, however, travels around the country in support of different chapters of Students for Democratic Society. That's SDS, straight-up communist revolutionaries. Other radical groups from the 60s and 70s besides the Weathermen saw their former radical members enter the university system. Jamal Joseph, formerly Eddie Joseph, was a member of Panther 21, a group of Black Panthers who were arrested for conspiring to blow up railroad lines, department stores, and botanical gardens. How nice. While the Panther 21 were not found guilty, Joseph did several other stints in prison. Due to his association with the Black Panthers, he is now a professor at Columbia University. Okay. Former Black Panther member Erica Huggins was the founder of the New Haven Black Panthers during the New Haven Black Panther trials of 1969, during which time the Black Panthers of New Haven were on trial, facing several charges, including felony murder of 19-year-old Alex Rockley. According to court testimony, Huggins was present and assisted in torturing Rockley. Another Black Panther member, George Sams, implicated Huggins in the call to murder Rockley. Huggins' charges were dismissed after the jury was unable to reach a verdict. Erica Huggins is presently a professor at Laney and Berkeley City College and has been invited lecturer at Stanford and Cornell. Yes, very understandable why she would be a lecturer Distinguished Professor Emerita from University of California, Santa Cruz, Angela Davis, was never actually a member of the Black Panther Party, but had several close ties to the group before becoming a distinguished professor in the history of consciousness and the Feminist Studies Department. What a bunch of bullcrap that is. Huggins, I'm sorry, that must be a typo. Davis was at the FBI's top 10 most wanted list. She had purchased a shotgun 2 days before it was used in a hostage situation, which left 6 people dead. She would later be acquitted and run for vice president in 1980 and 84 under the Communist Party USA ticket. Almost done. Unfortunately, we've got a couple more. Former Black Panther Chief of Staff David Hilliard was convicted on 2 counts of assault with a deadly weapon in 1968 after he took place in a shootout with Oakland police. He's currently visiting a visiting instructor at the University of New Mexico. Steve Best, a philosopher professor from University of Texas, El Paso, is not an accused terrorist. Well, that's good. That's refreshing. He is, however, the founder of the Animal Liberation Press Office. The ALPO acts as the media office for several animal rights groups, including the Animal Liberation Front, which is a domestic terrorist group. In 2004, the British Home Office told him they intended to use counter-terrorist measures to prevent him from speaking at an animal rights rally in the UK. Best was quoted by the UK's Daily Telegraph, quote, "We are not terrorists, but we are a threat. We are a threat both economically and philosophically. Our power is not in the right to vote, but the power to stop production. We will break the law and destroy property until we win." Certainly, there are additional members or activists in similar organizations who can be found in colleges or universities across the country. Wow, that's a bunch of great, great folks right there. Again, that's theothermccain.com. If you want to read that for yourself, I did not make any of that up. And it's almost top of the hour here, Christopher Manti Show. 718-305-7176 is the number, 718-305-7176. Sitting here at the Trinity Media Studios, beautiful Delaware, holding my cold but growing warmer Samuel Adams White Lantern. I think this is the one. It's their version of a Belgian wheat. It's phenomenal. I can drink several of these every day. I don't. I'm just saying I could. Because it's so awesome. Think about this kind of beer, to me. Well, there's no bitterness, number one, so it's hardly even a beer at all, which is why I'd like it. So there you go, tip of the day, Samuel Adams. Samuel Adams is always in my heart, of course, as one of the great patriots of all time, but now he's in my belly as well. So thank you, Samuel. Amen. Here till 7 o'clock, I'm almost, almost halfway done here with my program. Again, call me if you want, 718-305-7176. Should talk about things that I brought up so far or something else. We'll be changing up a little bit here with a story about Christians in Egypt, about conservatives being targeted by the IRS, first of many times, I'm sure. And then we'll talk into some get some Bible stuff going the last half hour. The dangers of amillennial and pre-tribulation eschatologies. Yes. Yes. If you didn't understand that, stay tuned. You will find out. Manti Show, so glad that you are with me and that I can be with you. I'm very blessed and thankful to this Conservative Nation Radio Network and to the Lord, of course, for giving me the platform and the mouth to speak it. I hope you enjoy it as well and are not too confused, but let me know. Email me too if you want. I know I like communicating like that. Christopher@conservativenationradio.org. Or just go to christophermanti.com. You can hit me up there and read all about what I'm doing. Good deal? All right, 6 o'clock on the East Coast of the United States of America on this 10th day of May, 2013. and we'll be right back. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or restricting the freedom of the speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
The traditional light bulb, a groundbreaking invention in 1879. Other groundbreaking ideas from that time, the whalebone corset, the pedal-operated submarine, and the two-story outhouse. We've come a long way since then. It's time our light bulbs did the same. Visit EnergySavers.gov and learn about energy-saving light bulbs. See, these new bulbs are more efficient than the old ones, like a text message is more efficient than a carrier pigeon. They last longer, too, like how we humans last longer now that doctors use antibiotics instead of leeches. And they cut down on our energy costs, because in our own groundbreaking age of aeroplanes and moving pictures, we deserve a light bulb that saves us some cash. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
You're so annoying.
You're so annoying.
Stop copying me.
Stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop talking to me.
Kids will spend 10 minutes copying everything their sibling says.
You're such a doofus.
You're such a doofus.
How about 2 minutes to brush their teeth? Brushing for 2 minutes now can save your child from severe tooth pain later. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. 2 minutes, twice a day. I have the time.
Mom!
A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ad Council.
Radio Network, 718-305-7176. The number, 718-305-7176. I sincerely appreciate you listening live, 6 p.m. on the 10th of May, or afterwards. Whenever that is, makes no difference to me. So thank you so much for tuning in and making this night special. Alrighty. And again, feel free to call me or email me, Christopher at conservativenationradio.org. Trinity Media Studios. Remember to visit trinitymediaonline.com and follow me anytime, ChristopherManti.com. All right, good. Good to go. The Blaze, you may or may not be aware, is the new news site that Glenn Beck has established and doing some really awesome stuff here the past couple weeks. Not that it matters, but I was first into, I was a fan of Glenn Beck in 2000, 13 years ago. Just like to throw that out there to folks who have listened for, you know, past 4 or 5 years. You got nothing on me, son. Anyway, check out the Blaze. I haven't subscribed or anything like that. I don't kind of shy away from putting money at anything, especially in this information age. But this is interesting, to say the least. There is a great injustice going on in Egypt. After we were so happy to get this Muslim Brotherhood in power there. You can watch those videos of this also. People are quoted there saying, "We have no hope in America. Christians from Egypt revealed the darker side of quote-unquote moderate Islam in Egypt." Yeah, that's, you know, the Muslim Brotherhood, they're just moderates. Yeah. I forget the fact that they basically invented terrorism 100 years ago. Islamic terrorism. Yeah, forget all that. Psh. Don't worry about that. That's, as Jay Carney would say, that's so long ago. That actually would be a semi-valid statement, saying that's a long time ago, 100 years, not 8 months. Anywho, this is what happens when we abandon Christians in other countries. This is what's coming here. This is what God's going to allow, potentially. So pay attention. This is just a little blurb here. Again, there's videos here. If you go to the Blaze, and it says, "We have no hope in America," under the faith section. It says, "While the Obama administration would like Americans to believe that Egypt's new government and its new president, Morsi, are the culmination of the freedom movement and the Arab Spring in the country, the Coptic Christians there are telling a very different story. Blaze TV aired compelling stories on Wednesday of several Christians who live in fear. They have been told to convert to Islam and are living such a much harsher reality than the one promised after the revolution. For example, meet the sisters, were told that after Morsi came to power, all women would not have to wear a veil, and the wife told she should leave her husband and convert to Islam." And some good stories about that. Additionally, there are those in the country who admit, "We have no hope in America." Why? Because the United States continues to support a Muslim Brotherhood-led government despite the concerns of them. Well, there's not concerns. I mean, it's just facts, truth on the ground. I mean, granted, there's a very strong sentiment right now to worry about us and not about other nations, and I understand that. I agree with it, actually. This is a teaching moment about who, again, if anyone is in denial about what kind of threat Sharia is in general to normal civilization and to women and to the notion of freedom of thought, freedom of religion, it mocks all of that. It's completely opposed. And how it, I mean, the main enemy is always Christianity. If there's Christians in the midst a Muslim society, they're the enemies. It's happened again and again and again and again and again and again and again. It's so futile and stupid to deny it. But yet we do, and that's our official, of course, it's our official policy. Even if we had, you know, I don't care, George W. Bush, Ronald Reagan, throw anybody in there, we'd still feel the same way. This is a giant wave of events, and political correctness has taken hold, and it's not going to let go because we don't have the guts, the brains, and we don't know our God. Just not interested to throw off the chains of deception. I don't know. Some of you are. If you are, you have to lead on this. And be serious about it. Constant. Never, never, never give up. Our hope is not in politicians, folks. Not. I don't care who it is. The best guys we got in America right now are Rand Paul, Ted Cruz. Duh. Who else? Trey Gowdy? Nikki Haley? I don't know. They're not going to save us. There's no hope there. Not trying to disrespect them, but too late. That's not what you should be working towards. That's not where you should be devoting your free time, in my humble opinion. We have much bigger fish to fry and much bigger things to come. Religious liberty. Guys, Barack Obama, I just wanted to say this about all this stuff we're talking about earlier. Obama's not going anywhere. Even if by some, I don't want to say miracle, but by some happenstance that he's impeached over this Benghazi thing, which I highly doubt. Impeached meaning they have the trial. Remember, like, Bill Clinton was impeached, but he was not guilty. Same thing would happen here. Even if you had a conservative majority in both houses, which I'm not – we don't even have that in the House. But let's say we did, in the House and Senate, not only Democrats were in the minority, but the conservatives were actually in the majority. Whoa. Obama would still not leave. He's not leaving, folks. We got 4 more years minimum of his plan and those with him to redefine, remake, transform the United States into what they want. So, religious freedom has got to go, and that starts in August. If you're concerned or don't know what I'm talking about, you can give me a call. 718-305-7176. 718 area code 305-7176. Or if you don't feel like dialing that, or it's out of your area or something, come into the chat room here or email me, Christopher@conservativenationradio.org. And I will get that and address your concerns. So August is when it comes down. And July is another month that I'm kind of concerned about because, and we talked about this previously, there's going to apparently be a march on Washington, D.C. with live weapons. People are going to carry exercise their Second Amendment rights with loaded weapons on their back through Washington, D.C. Problem with that is it's not legal in Washington, D.C. to carry a weapon. So we'll see what happens there. The potential for disaster is very high. Maybe nothing comes of it. You kind of hope so. But you got to, again, think ahead. Put out your contingencies. Put your mind, wrap your mind around that. You saw what they tried to do in Boston. They had a white tea party guy with a backpack ready to go in front of the cameras until they got caught. That's my opinion. Right? And just like this video with Benghazi, same crap. Same crap. Oh, it's a video. It's an anti-Islamic video by a conservative man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to keep trying it, trying it, and trying it, guys, until it sticks. And you talk about getting a whole bunch of pro-Second Amendment guys with live guns in a place where it's banned. They got all they need. Somebody's going to fire some kind of shot from somewhere, and it's going to be blamed on the marchers, and that'll be that. Then we're really in trouble. Anyways, I don't know what's going to happen in July. I'm just saying. Watch out. And, of course, you got this Freedom Tower going up, and God is not happy about that either. Okay. Let's talk about traditionalamericanmovement.com, please. TradAM is a partner of ours here on Conservative Nation Radio. Now, the leftist media, of course, would like conservatives like us to think that we're just a few lonely voices in the wilderness, but do not be fooled. Americans identify themselves as conservatives. We outnumber liberals 2-1 by numerous polls. So if you respect traditional American values, there is a place for you to call home on the internet. It's called traditionalamericanmovement.com, or TradAM, as we call our home. TraditionalAmericanMovement.com is the place where real conservatives can meet up without those turf wars. Please, enough of that, and find out what's new in the conservative community. So join up, find out what's happening, and being part of the revolution, all on ConservativeNationRadio.org, TraditionalAmericanMovement.com. That is TraditionalAmericanMovement.com. I hope to see you there soon. TradAM is a liberal-free website, and we will be right back.
I am a free man. Don't tread on me.
Hello, and welcome to today's lottery drawing. Good luck. And here's today's winning numbers. First one up, it's not yours. Second one, not yours. And another number that's not yours. Okay, this is one number that's yours. It's a 5, but you don't get any money for that. And the final number is not yours.
Yep, so chances are you're not going to hit the lottery anytime soon. Don't get us wrong. The lottery can be fun every now and then. Just please don't rely on it for your future savings. How about this? Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte every day. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Ride your bike instead of buying all that gas. These changes alone can save you thousands a year. Thousands. Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow. Feed that piggy bank. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
It feels like you're frozen. Petrified. You're struggling with your mortgage payments. The bills begin to pile up. Not knowing what to do, you do nothing at all. And that's the worst thing you can do. Because if you take action, if you do something about your mortgage problems, you're far more likely to get the most positive outcome. Making Home Affordable is a free government program. Call 888-995-HOPE. To talk one-on-one with a housing expert about the options that are right for you. Real help, real answers, right now. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov and do something about your mortgage problems. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
7 o'clock. Now 6:20 in the p.m. 718-305-7176. 718-305-7176 is the phone number. Thank you so much for joining me. I hope it's live, but if it's on podcast, you know, download it after the fact, that is okay. It's more than okay. It's awesome. I love you. I do. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for listening and spreading the word about my program, if you would. Manti Show on Facebook, that's probably the easiest way to tell your friends. Or just go to the conservativenationradio.org website and tell all your buddies. Check back there all the time because our latest episodes are there and information about all the hosts and the programming and calendars and all the good meaty stuff is there for you. So check it out, please. And I'm here till 7 o'clock, like I say, 40 minutes left only. Give me a call if you want, 718-305-7176. I got to talk about this IRS admission today, and it's hilarious. It's really just funny as heck. So check it out. IRS apologizes for targeting Tea Party groups. This is from the Associated Press, of all places. All right. Internal Revenue Service has apologized Friday. By the way, it's all happening Friday, as you know, because that's the slowest news day. No one's going to hear about it. They figure the least amount of people hear about it, and it'll be forgotten by Monday. That's why they do this stuff on Friday. Anyway, Internal Revenue Service apologized Friday for what it acknowledged as what it was inappropriate targeting of conservative political groups during the 2012 election to see if they were violating their tax-exempt status. IRS agents singled out dozens of organizations for additional reviews because they included the words Tea Party or Patriot in their exemption applications, said Lois Lerner, who heads the IRS division that oversees tax-exempt groups. In some cases, groups were asked for lists of donors, which violates IRS policy. In most cases, she said, the agency led – oh, here's the AP getting in a dig at – lest you think this is a liberal thing or left-wing targeting. No, it's not. It's not. The agency led at the time by a Bush administration appointee. Led at the time by blamed low-level employees, saying – no high-level officials were aware. Right. But that wasn't good enough for Republicans in Congress. They're mean. That wasn't good enough for Republicans in Congress who are conducting several investigations and asked for more. I call on the White House to conduct a transparent government-wide review aimed at assuring the American people that these thuggish practices are not underway at the IRS or elsewhere in the administration against anyone, regardless of their political views, Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell. Well, it sounds pretty fair. Regardless of their political views, even though we know that's not happening. It's just those Tea Partiers and Patriots and both. White House spokesman Jay Carney declared it was indeed inappropriate for the IRS to target Tea Party groups, but he brushed aside questions about whether the White House itself would investigate. Yeah, in other words, no, not happening. Instead, Carney said the administration expects a thorough investigation by the Treasury Department Inspector General for Tax Administration. Oh, God, help us. Oh, the bureaucracy is killing us. The inspector general had been looking into the issue since last summer, and his report is expected to come out next week, the IG's office said Friday. Carney said he did not know when the White House first learned that the Tea Party groups were being targeted. Lerner acknowledged it was wrong for the agency to target groups based on political affiliation. That was absolutely incorrect. It was insensitive and inappropriate. That's not how we go about selecting cases for further review, except when it is, my comment. By the way, this wasn't even a media thing where they announced it or put it out on their website. This was at a conference by the American Bar Association. So it was a speech that happened to come out. The IRS would like to apologize for that, she added. Well, thank you. Thank you so much, idiots. Lerner said the practice was initiated. Here we go again, blaming the quote, low-level workers. Yep. Initiated by low-level workers in Cincinnati and was not motivated by political bias. Oh, my God. They think you're stupid. They think you're stupid. This is so, I can't even, the words fail me. So bereft of common sense. Not motivated by political bias. Even if she didn't believe it, which she must, how would you prove that? Did you interview these low-level workers, which you disdainfully dismissed and saying, oh, it was nothing, it was just these low-level workers, but it wasn't political bias. No. Agency officials found out about the practice last year and moved to correct it, even though it was happening right through the election. Dolts. The IRS said in a statement. The statement did not specify when the officials found out. Exactly. About 75 groups were inappropriately targeted. None had their tax exempt status revoked, Lerner said. That's not the point. The point is intimidation and delay so the election could go the way it was supposed to. That's the goal. Mission accomplished. The IRS is an independent agency within the Treasury Department. Look at this. The AP feels it necessary to apologize for the IRS right here. This is not a quote. This is not from anyone from the story. This is the AP writer. It feels it's necessary to insert this. The IRS is an independent agency within the Treasury Department that enforces the nation's tax laws. Revelations that the agency was targeting political groups because they were affiliated with a movement that is critical of President Obama could become a new headache for the White House. Then it talks about John Boehner. The admission by the Obama administration that the Internal Revenue Service targeted political opponents echoes some of the most shameful abuses of government power in the 20th century, said House Speaker Boehner. Many conservative groups complained during the campaign that they were being harassed by the IRS. Ding, ding, ding. Yep, because they were. They accused the agency of frustrating their attempts to become tax exempt by sending them lengthy, intrusive questionnaires. Yep, they did. The reason? To get Obama reelected. Once that was over, who cares? Because that's all that matters, folks. Mission accomplished, like I said, and it's irrelevant right now. We missed our chance. They did their job. They were good little. I don't want to say SLUTS, but I just did. For the forms, which groups had made available, sought information about groups' members' political activities, including details of their postings on social networking websites and about family members. IRS commissioner told Congress in March 2012 the IRS was not targeting groups based on politics. There's absolutely no targeting. This is the kind of back and forth that happens to people who apply for tax-exempt status. Right. IRS said senior leaders were not aware that specific groups were being targeted at the time of that hearing. While we acknowledged centralization of these applications last year, the IRS did not acknowledge the use of names as part of the process earlier because the details were not initially known to senior leadership, and the inspector general has been reviewing the situation. The IRS said the work is now far enough along that it was appropriate to address the issue when it came up during Friday's tax conference. Right. It wasn't far enough along before the election, but well after the election. Look at what we found. Well, you get the point of all this, don't you? Let me just close this out here. This is a Tea Party group, Ohio Liberty Coalition. It is suspicious that the activity of these, quote, low-level workers was unknown to IRS leadership at the time it occurred. Oh, I'm sorry, this is Jenny Beth Martin of Tea Party Patriots, who you probably know of. President Obama must also apologize for his administration ignoring repeated complaints by these broad grassroots organizations of harassment by the IRS in 2012 and make concrete and transparent steps today to ensure this never happens again. Well, as I just told you, it doesn't matter if it happens anymore. They got what they wanted. They're not thinking about 2016, folks. They got 2012, and that's all they cared about. So, got a half hour left here on the Manti Show. Let me tell you about Patriot Depot, please. Let's assume you're listening to Conservative Nation Radio. You are a conservative. You love America and our Constitution just like we do. Since that's the case, you're going to want to Supply Depot. Get everything you want, from books, bumper stickers, T-shirts, flags, everything. Your pipeline to all that good stuff is right here at conservativenationradio.org. Just go to our website and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the best-known warehouse for all of your conservative revolution needs. So wave your flag and proudly display your love of America and the conservative revolution starting right now. Just go to conservativenationradio.org, click on the Patriot Depot banner, and join the revolution. Real conservatism for real conservatives, and we will be right back.
Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or restricting the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances.
Wow, yeah, since the storm, it's been crazy busy for us. We got all kinds of office desks coming in. Here's a fancy one right here. It's missing a leg, but that's all right. Whatever. Washers and dryers from a laundromat. Oh, wow, and check this out. Another deep fryer. And I'm not sure what this doohickey is. Yeah, most businesses weren't ready for a storm like that, you know. But our work's really piling up here at Roberts & Son Salvage.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency, and 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now, before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
Nurse, I need you to apply pressure to the head wound until I can get to it. I'm concerned she's lost too much blood.
Oh, no.
You in the corner, who are you? You're not supposed to be here.
She's my girlfriend, doctor.
You need to wait out in the waiting room.
Please, doctor, I want to stay with her.
Look, she's been badly injured. So if you want to do what's best for her, you need to let us do our work.
Please, doctor, she has to be okay. I didn't mean to do this. I love her.
Wait a second. You were the driver?
Yes, but I didn't mean to. I swear, we went to dinner. I was just buzzed. I only had a few drinks.
Just buzzed? Why didn't you tell us that? In that case, your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great. You want to get out of here?
I can't believe this. Really, doctor? She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it.
Welcome back. Welcome. Broadcasting live from the Trinity Media Studios.
Here's your host, Manti.
Yes, indeed, I am back. I'm glad to have you back with me. This is the Christopher Manti Show. Every Friday now, 5 to 7, tell your friends, 5 to 7 p.m. every Friday afternoon / evening. Thanks for joining me. I am so appreciative to have you listening. And there's a chat room here and here live on the air if you're listening now. you scroll down, you see there's a chat room there. You can just log in and go. You don't even have to give your name. It'll show you, you know, as a guest of the show, and then blah, blah, blah. You can post whatever you want. And we're having a lively conversation right now, as a matter of fact. let's just say one of the comments, it says, you must be high right now. So that's always good. I like that. I like that. Lively exchange of ideas and people with agendas coming in. It's awesome. Totally great entertainment. So thank you for that, you guys or girls, whomever. Thank you for being here and listening. And please continue. Conversate away. Manti Show is here another 25 minutes. And then we'll be out for the week. And remember, tomorrow, Robert Garding is with you at 4 p.m. Okay, and we got Soldiers of Patriotism on Sunday. I'll tell you about that in a second. All week here, we have just the greatest shows here on Conservative Nation Radio Network. So thank you for being with us all week long and telling your friends and family all about us, because we're just grassroots folks here trying to get it done. Telling the truth and getting it out there, because we know our traditional media is dead, and even our oftentimes reliable, quote-unquote, conservative media, our talk show hosts and the like, don't always cut the mustard either, and we have to get it out there, get it off our chests half the time, for God's sakes. We're just busting at the seams a lot of the time. So thanks for giving me that opportunity here. 6:37 now. I wanted to touch on, right before we left, talked about a bunch of stuff here, a lot of politics and so on, and started off the show talking about the Freedom Tower and how much of a disgrace that is, if you really think about it. And how God is not happy. We've capped it off now, completed the giant finger, pointing right at God. This is like Tower of Babel all over again. We didn't learn anything September 11th, nothing. And again, I encourage you to listen to my show last week or pick up The Harbinger. Please, please, please. It's so important. It's not a book of fiction. Actually, The Harbinger is a fictional account of the harbingers of the Bible related to September 11th and on through to 2008 and today. If you just want to skip the story, pick up the abbreviated version called The Harbinger Companion with Study Guide. Harbinger Companion with Study Guide. It's less than $15. That's the retail price in Barnes & Noble. You know, you can get it for $10. Amazon or what have you. It's 200 pages. It's nothing but biblical explanations of what the harbinger is all about. The nine harbingers appeared to ancient Israel, and they're appearing exactly the same way in America. And it's not a coincidence. God is allowing these things to happen. He's lifted our hedge of protection. We are not listening to him. We have not changed. We have gotten worse. Look who our leaders are. Look what we're doing. Are we turning to God in any way? Are we turning to Yeshua, Jesus, in any way, shape, or form? No. How? We totally ignored the attack. What the purpose of it was? It was to wake us, shake us out of sleep and slumber. Nope. This Freedom Tower completion is going to herald a whole new judgment, I'm afraid. And all you can do is get right with God about it. Read the Bible. Open it up. Don't listen to what other people say about it. Don't think your pastor or priest is good enough. Get into it yourself. He's your father. He wrote that letter to you. You. Oh, what version of the Bible do I use? Well, if you're asking, if you're serious, if that's really your biggest problem, do one where you can study from. the King James and the Strong's Concordance will let you translate every word back to the original Hebrew, Chaldee, or Greek source. No human necessary with a commentary or anything else. Study-wise, that's the way to go. To read it in accurate English, I think the best modern way to read it is called the NASB, American Standard Bible, New American Standard Bible, which goes back again to the original languages. And then you can use it that way. All right. That's just for reading and recollection and memorization, because you got to memorize this stuff and get right with him. And what I want to talk about here before I go, why are we talking about hemp in the chat room? I don't know, but I hope you listen to the program while you're in there. That would be great. I just wanted to touch on talking about this stuff with the Harbinger and your church and pastor and so forth, how you really have got to do your own study. I mean, don't be closed-minded to them. Obviously, find a church that you're comfortable with and that teaches God's word. But there are two major conditions of belief about the future that are so dangerous. Really, they're inhibitive. They will stop you from finding the facts. And this might sound a little academic or whatever, but I'll call it, these are the dangers of what I call what's called the amillennial and pre-tribulation eschatologies. In other words, these are two methods, eschatology meaning study of the end or the end times or the end of the world, when Jesus returns, okay? The last things. Number one is amillennialism. Amillennialism means, if you look at the book of Revelation, there's an obvious period of 1,000 years where Jesus is said to reign on the earth with his saints. Okay, well, you really can't write that out of there. So people deal with it in different ways. One of them is called amillennialism, which is saying it's not really a 1,000-year period. It's a figure of speech. It's an indeterminate amount of time, and it's been going on ever since Christ's resurrection. Maybe some people will say since the ascension, since he left the apostles and the Holy Spirit came. Maybe since 70 AD when the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed, mostly destroyed. There's still the wall, western wall standing. Anyways, somewhere in there, from that point on, the amillennialist will say that is the beginning of the so-called 1,000 years, and we've been in that period since then, and the return of Jesus is imminent, and it's the only thing left to happen. There's nothing that will precede that. He's coming at any moment, at any time, because this millennium thing is a bunch of bogus literalist, futurist, as they say, interpretation, and you can't believe any of it. We're in that period now. This is the kingdom of Christ on earth. To that I say, what? Christ is not on earth, number one. His spirit is in believers, yes, but it's said that, I mean, it's clear as day, the 1,000-year period, Jesus rules from Jerusalem in person. His return is described in incredible detail. The book of Zechariah tells you the exact spot on the earth where his feet touches down. The Mount of Olives. You might remember Jesus gave a sermon on the Mount of Olives. That's where he's returning. That hasn't happened. Right? Where he's not here, so it hasn't happened. Number two, the condition of that 1,000-year period is that Satan is bound in the abyss and can't affect anyone. Okay, Sure. That's really what's going on right now. I'll show you the Bible itself contradicts that pretty easily. Where is Satan right now? Is he locked up with no influence for this thousand, metaphorical thousand years? Well, I'll finish up talking about that as well as this pre-tribulation eschatology when we come back. Remember on Sundays, folks, it's Soldiers of Patriotism, okay? It's our flagship show, the original on Conservative Nation Radio. So we like things here to be predictable, dependable, and reliable, right? Like the true anchors that they are, Mr. Michael Smith and Bing Fisher will roll out Soldiers of Patriotism this Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 Central Time. Every Sunday, 4 p.m. Eastern Time. But it would not be Conservative Nation Radio without Michael B. and Uncle Bing. Now, would it? No, it would not. So do not miss our signature show, Soldiers of Patriotism, this Sunday, 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central Time at conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. And we will be right back with our last segment.
I am a free man. Don't tread on me.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Today, you ate Greek yogurt. You took the train. You wondered why people spend so much time reading celebrity blogs. You read a celebrity blog. You planned a workout. You skipped it. You did all the things that one normally does the day before a devastating earthquake shakes the community to the ground. You never know when the day before is the day before. Prepare for tomorrow at ready.gov/today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
Show. One last segment here till I'm out of here, 7 p.m. every Friday, remember, 5 to 7 p.m. now. Thanks for joining me. I appreciate it very much. And just one last segment that I'm out. I do want to talk about this Bible stuff real quick. Remember I said this amillennial interpretation says that Satan is bound for 1,000 years. First of all, looking at this chat room, what is wrong with people? I'm misquoting Revelation. 1,000-year period is the time of the beast, and Satan rules the earth. What are you reading? There is no Bible that says that, you dope. Anyway, no. The 1,000-year period is when Satan is bound in the pit, in the abyss, with chains. Go read it for yourself. So the amillennialist says, yes, we're in that period now. Christ is ruling. His church is on earth. That's good enough. And the devil is locked away in this abyss. He can't affect anyone except for the fact that Peter himself, Peter, the rock, right, who I build my church, blah, 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 says in his epistle, 1 Peter chapter 5, Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. Huh. That is not the description of a chained Satan. That's a free Satan. So anyway, just thought I'd bring that up. That's A. That's amillennialist. That's never made sense to me. I grew up in that belief system as a Catholic. I reject it completely. It makes no sense biblically to me at all. It just goes against the common sense of the world. So I don't accept that at all. And I think it's dangerous to accept it because you're complacent. You don't care about revelation at all. It's all just whatever. It already happened. It's happening. Nothing but Jesus to come back. Coincidentally, this pre-tribulation idea is the same bottom line, is imminency, that Jesus can return at any moment. There's nothing else that needs to happen. He can come back today. Again, dangerous. A, because the Bible doesn't say that. B, because you're not thinking that you're going to have to do anything. You're not thinking that there's going to be a tribulation for you. You're not thinking that Satan will be here as the false Christ first. You're thinking you'll just be whisked away and that'll be that, and you'll be in heaven and yippee. I get to be up here for 7 years and watch the poor saps on the earth and get destroyed and whatever you think is going to happen. There's a whole cottage industry about that. Now, a lot of people like the amills, right, the amillennialists out there, which are a lot of the church, lump this pre-trib belief in with mine. Which is not true. I'm what you would call a post-tribulation person or a historic premillennialist. In other words, I believe that Jesus comes back and gathers us and we all go to Jerusalem to reign for 1,000 years. There's no rapture that takes us away before that. There's no escaping the tribulation other than his divine protection from it, which he is perfectly capable of, just like the three Hebrew children in Daniel's day, like Noah on the ark, like 1,000 other examples. God will protect you if you're one of his. That's not a problem. Not a problem. We are going to be here for the tribulation. So that's where the pre-tribulation says, if you don't know, if you haven't figured it out already, it says before the tribulation begins, Jesus actually comes back sort of, and raptures all the Christians away, the true Christians away. They disappear. It's like a Hollywood movie. People disappear from their cars and pilots on airplanes and their desk jobs and their parents and kids. And whole families are taken and then it's really bizarre, actually. However, confession, I used to believe that also for a time because I was coming out of the amillennialist philosophy and all I saw, and again, this is my mistake, I'm not blaming anyone, but all I saw, the only alternative to that was a pre-tribulation version. The only thing I saw with an actual millennium to come was this pre-trib version of events. So I had nowhere else to go. I thought that was it. That was the only other, it was either no millennium or this pre-trib thing. So for a while there, I actually was in agreement with it, partially because I didn't know there was anything else, until you, God forbid, you go study for yourself and look at it and say, whoa, wait a minute here. And then I found there was like my local library had like one book with an alternative viewpoint. And that was actually what you'd call a pre-wrath position, which is technically what I am, but whatever. They said there is a rapture, but it's way later than you go through some of the tribulation. It was, again, weird and bizarre. But it was different, alternate. I'm like, whoa, okay, wait a minute. You're right. There's some of these reasons why it can't be, you know, and he's not taking you anywhere. He's coming back here. That's the whole point. Jesus is coming back here. He's not taking you anywhere other than Jerusalem if you're not there. That's where he is going to reign for 1,000 years. That's where his priests are going to reign with him. Right? So, unfortunately, the amillennials and the pre-tribbers dominate Christianity right now. They're, I don't know the exact percentage, but as far as established churches, you know, like with church buildings and all that, I would have to guess it's 99% one of those points of view. I mean, every Catholic church, every Orthodox church that I know of, like Greek Orthodox, you know, Russian Orthodox, you know, the old school churches, and then even the new ones, the, all the evangelical Protestant strains, basically, are pre-tribulation viewpoint. So you really know where to go if you figure out this truth that we're going to be here for the tribulation, but there's a thousand years of Christ anyway. Anyway, I just encourage you to get to the bottom of that for yourself. And I'm not saying leave your church or anything, because as I was saying, there's nowhere to go. You can't, you know, we just have to, you know, plant seeds, and the truth will take hold in some folks in our churches, and get out there on the streets and really, you know, demonstrate your faith and live it, and spread the gospel, and but always tell the truth about what's to come. And it's important that people know, because it's almost here. I don't know how close exactly, but pretty close. So I strongly encourage you to, again, get into the Word of God. It's written to you personally. It's your Father. Get into it. The future is happening. Bible prophecy is real, and it is coming true. This stuff in New York is just part of it. And there are several scriptures and prophecies that have yet to be fulfilled, starting with Damascus being turned into a heap and not a city anymore. That's never happened. That's coming soon. And when it does, and things like Iran pushing out and annoying the whole world, stuff like that, those are the days where America will decline, at least, or worse. That's written. All right, I believe that's plainly spelled out. And if you know who America is and where we come from, and it tells you exactly what's going to happen to us, and we will be judged guilty, and our power will be taken away. Does that mean we just become impotent, or we crash and burn, or does somebody physically attack us and take us out? Nuclear warfare, all that stuff. I'm not sure at this point, but it doesn't mean that we will fall. America will fall. And so we got to prepare for that spiritually and physically. All right. So this is serious business. And I guess a lot of my shows will be talking about that here in the near future. So I hope you're ready for it. Thanks for joining me today. It's another program in the books. And I love you all for listening, and thank you so much for being here. I'll be here next Friday, 5 to 7 Eastern, 5 to 7, Conservative Nation Radio. Tune in tomorrow for New Wise Conservatism, and then Sunday for Soldiers of Patriotism. Please, thank you so much. Remember, we're choosing this day who to serve. Make sure it's the Lord. See you next week. Now,